Hi, I'm Paul from Global Voice Network. This is Solutions for the Planet with Doc Peter. Doc Peter's got a special guest today. Peter, who you got?
Brother Kurt Kallenbach, who likes to talk about where it all started from the beginning to the end. And hopefully we'll be able to put, Curtis and I did an excellent show back in 2015, multiples of them. And we were fleshing back the Matrix way back when, so we're not first in, first. Well, we're first in time today, I guess, Curtis, because this is going to be new to a lot of people today.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
It is going to be, Peter, it's going to be new. It's going to be so new to most people, they're going to freak because they've never understood their own origin. They don't even know their own origin, and they don't understand the ramifications of knowing their, I mean, this is knowledge. Knowledge is the thing. My people shall perish for lack of knowledge. And what I'm about to bring today is the knowledge to eliminate all the fictitious nonsense that we're suffering.
The slings and arrows of the ultimate, the dead. We've been sitting in the land of the dead for a long time, but that's all coming to pass right now, Curtis. I don't know. Where do you want to start?
I'm doing everything I can. I'm doing everything I can to bring the truth to light so that we're not suffering the once upon a time Gregorian calendar nonsense.
It's sort of like a Harlequin romance almost, you know?
I was going to follow your lead.
Okay.
I'm going to follow your lead.
Let's start with the beginning then. Let's cover the zygote and just talk a little bit about divine proportion that we created back years ago that allowed us to enter into the gates of freedom, basically trying to break free from the matrix and removing ourselves from the land of the dead. Anyways, let's start with the zygote. That's where it all starts in the beginning, the flower of life in the zygote. Where do you want to go?
Well, the zygote is the singularity, the first cell. It's your 46 chromosome being in one single cell, and it's the product of the building materials dad brings to the table known as sperm and the building materials mom brings to the table known as ovum. When the fertilization process occurs, a new, brand new, unique 46 chromosome entity, i.e. zygote, is created. And that zygote, that one cell, is the totality or the entirety of your existence. And from that moment, from that single cell to this moment as I speak to you, as a multi-trillion cell entity, that single cell to this moment is what I call evolutionary due process. Evolutionary due process. From a single cell to a multi-trillion cell entity, it's all one life. It's unbroken. It's uncut. There's no duplicity. There's no duality. It's all one. But until they cut the umbilical cord. The moment they cut the umbilical cord, they create this false duality. They attach a Gregorian calendar, a fictitious Gregorian calendar character to the cut end, and now we have this duality, and it's a once upon a time duality. So when you know the truth all the way back to your beginning, you eliminate the fault, F-A-U-L-T, the fault. The cut is a fault. And so when you eliminate the fault, when you no longer claim that birth certificated fault, you are no longer at fault. And because innocence, and I mean this, the word innocence begins at creation, which is fertilization, which is the zygote, and it extends the entire lifetime. Innocence extends over the entire lifetime unless you claim the fault or the birth certificated cut. And now that's the original sin. And now original sin is the birth certificated person. And now you're always at fault. You are never innocent. In fact, I'll say this one last thing, is innocence begins at fertilization. It begins with the zygote. Guilty or not guilty begins with the birthday. How's that? Innocence begins at fertilization with the zygote, and guilty, not guilty begins with the birthday.
Right. We've been having a problem with finding out who we are because they've split our personalities at the beginning of birth through the certificated birth certificate.
Yeah, that's beautiful because it is truly a split personality. Personality is biology, and the zygote is your personality. It's the entirety of your existence in one cell. And think about this: over the next 9 months in the womb, that single cell subdivides within itself. it's not outside of the cell, it's all inside of the cell. So everything going on inside of the cell is part of that godly estate, part of that kingdom. That zygote is a kingdom. And it's within itself, it subdivides, which is, again, evolutionary due process. As it subdivides, I like to break it down in a very simple formula. Baby, umbilical cord, and the extra-embryonic material. That's all one thing. Think about that. Right. Baby, umbilical cord, and extra-embryonic is all one biology, all one kingdom, all one godly estate. But when they clamp and cut the umbilical cord, they create this false duality, this split personality.
How do I come back home to be the supreme me? I really do like that's theme out of Black's Laws Dictionary, basically that me superior to all others or other things, the highest authority in a state, all other powers in it being inferior thereto, supremacy, the state of being supreme or in the highest station of power, paramount authority, sovereign power, and that. I guess I want to be the supreme being, but I go over to your being and the definitions on Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
I'm losing you over on this end. I can't hear you at all right now, Pete.
All right. I don't know what's going on with this. Yeah, I usually don't have this problem. How about now?
Yeah, if you stay right where you're at, we should be okay.
All right. I'm hovering the computer. I'm hovering the computer. Back to the supreme being, anyways. Being is the quality of existence. B1 is something that is physically and hence capable of existing. B2, something that actually exists in the totality of existing things. Existing life. Which quality constitute an existing or an existing thing, essence, our life essence, especially personality, and creates a living, especially person. The person's what's got us all in this problem in the first place, Curtis.
Well, that's what most people believe, but that's not a true statement. I'm going to go to Webster's online.
Okay.
Because people don't know what – I mean, when I first started down this path 15, 16 years ago, I mean, the first word I learned that I thought was a problem was person. Oh, my God. God's no respecter of persons, Kurt. Well, fuck off. Anyway – I'm going to Webster's real quick.
Okay.
I know. Sorry. And this is Webster's. This is not some weird dictionary. Webster's online says this. And in fact, I'll just skip over all this crap and I'll go straight to number 4A, bodily appearance. 4B, the body of a human being. Done. It's my body. It's my biology. My person is my biology. So when most people mistake. The legal fiction on paper, the birth certificated paper person, which is subsequent to the biological body that is cut off of you. So when they clamp and cut the cord, and that material left behind, the biology left behind, we'll call it the afterbirth, that gets a piece of paper, that gets a title. We see it as a birth certificate. So the afterbirth gets the birth certificate. It's the birth certificate that people are confusing with what gave rise to the certificate. What gave rise to the certificate is substance. The substance is your biology. That's your person. So it's the biology that has the paper fiction attached to it. So Curtis Richard Kallenbach, the birth certificated character, most people confuse that character with the biology that gave rise to it. So my body is the biology. That's my person. Right now I'm getting up out of the chair and I'm going to put my phone in my back pocket, which is on my person. My pants are on my person. My shirt is on my person. My person is my biology. It's my body. So again, when somebody finds something on your person, you know, like maybe a driver's license was found on your person, that means that you're carrying it with your biology. And so the person is not the problem. It's the title to the person. And what person are we talking about? We're talking about the afterbirth that was left behind, the human remains that died because it didn't have your breath. It didn't have the ability to sustain life. So the person they're talking about is the decedent estate person, the birth certificated decedent estate, which is not living. So that's the why it's, you got to be really careful, because if I'm all present and accounted for from fertilization to this moment, there is no birth certificated person. There isn't any, because I'm whole from that moment to this moment. It doesn't matter that they cut me apart, that they created all this other nonsense. If I'm still using the same biology that was created at fertilization, that's continuous and contiguous. That means there is no separation. And if there's no separation, I'm living. And if I'm living, the Sedecay-Vie Act, you know, the missing man presumed dead, that all goes out the window. Now there's no trust law that applies to me. It doesn't apply to me. No trust law applies to the living. That's what's funny about this. No trust law applies to a living man.
I lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere with this. Anyways,
no, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay, because this is the groundwork. This is the hard stuff to get over for most people. Person is not the problem. You know, that's the legal fiction that people have confused with my biology, with their biology. Remember, substance comes first. Let me do this one last thing, because maybe this will help clarify things.
Sure.
Think about this. The moment dad lays with mom, the moment dad's building materials and mom's building materials fuse together in the fertilization, in the creation process, resulting in that single cell zygote. That moment, the moment of creation itself, Pete, think about this. What was your name? The very moment of creation.
That one.
There wasn't any.
No, I was just absent without leave.
Well, you existed, but you didn't have any name. What's really weird is your biology existed 9 months before the character, before the words.
Right.
9 months. So you existed 9 months before the public record. So you're in front of that historical record. So in the womb, all the time in the womb is actually prehistoric. Now think about Darwin. And people go, yeah, I didn't crawl up out of the muck, out of the mire. Yes, you did. You were a cell floating on the waters of mother. You were in the water. You weren't even on the land when you were created. You weren't even on the land. You were in the waters of mother when you were created. And by the way, the moment of creation, you didn't have a name. So how in the world can a name attach to your origin? It can't. It's already 9 months too late. So creation, the only way you can identify with the moment of creation is genetically. So if you want a sign for your origin, it better be in a way that genetics can be applied. The only way I sign anything anymore is through a thumbprint, because a thumbprint is actually considered a signature. If you just go to signature in Webster's, it'll actually say fingerprint. So you don't have to sign anything, because a name is already 9 months too late. When you sign something that you want to go all the way back to ownership, all the way back to origin, which is ownership, origin and ownership are one and the same. When you go all the way back to your genetic origin, that's ownership. And the only way you can do that is genetically. So that's why a thumbprint will take you all the way back to your godly kingdom, whereas a name, a signature, a name only brings you all the way to the public record. You're already 9 months too late. That's huge.
Mechanisms creating here on aisle 5 on the planet, I think having a digital thumbprint separates the wheat from the chaff. Basically nobody's got an original, just like you know, just like when we did our divine proportion the divine proportion back in, I did it in 2013, I think it was. I put a golden thumbprint on it because I felt that if I'm going to arise, I'm not dead, so in order to produce that I'm alive, it would have been either purple or gold thumbprint with my biometric data, which would establish the facts of anything, basically. I showed up in form for a moment. But nobody
can. Yeah, the substance always comes first. So biologically, you existed before the record, before anything was placed on the public record. Now think about that. The birth certificate is a public record. A public record.
Yeah.
Well, how in the world can you claim a birthday or a birth certificated title or name or character without being considered part of the public? How can you claim to have a right to privacy if you're using a public record character?
Right.
Wow. See, this shit is too easy. When you start to understand that private in the womb not only were you prehistory, prehistoric, but you were out of sight. You were completely private. And that was 9 months before the creation of that public character, that public record. That's why I don't want anything to do with the public record or the character born to the public timeline, which is the Gregorian calendar, which was created by Pope Gregory in 1582. That's the Christian. People don't realize this. But the birth certificated character and the Gregorian calendar, which it's attributable to, that's the Christian. If you're claiming a birthday, you're already a Christian, and people don't realize that Christianity is what? It's the official religion of Rome. All Christians are subject to Rome. They don't even know that.
Yep. What in Rome, do as the Romans.
I don't want this to be a data dump, you know. I don't want it to be a data dump, but it is pretty fun. We haven't talked for a long time. That's why I'm talking so much.
Yeah. So no, I'm glad. I want you to carry the ball. In your book, I'm sort of trolling around. Just your author's exposition. You're all about getting the terms correct.
Hallelujah.
You talk about stuff like.
Uh-oh. Paul, can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
I can't hear Pete right now.
I don't know what's going on with his computer.
How about now?
I can
if you stayed right now. I don't know why.
I gotta hover. It's probably because I have it sitting on the bed on a blanket, so it's probably blocking my speaker a little. Is that better?
Just put a book under it.
I just did.
Okay.
I'm ahead of you, bro.
Okay.
Here I am pushing every button I got trying to clean you up. Good grief.
You were talking about the exposition, right? There was a question about the exposition.
Yeah, let me grab that. Here, I'm going to get another book so I can put it on this book and I can open your book.
Okay.
Ironically, you talk about the art, buried alive, and other things I'd like to cover as well. Ironically, through this four year drama, they had everybody 6 feet apart because they didn't want our energy bills connected, I guess.
Peter, I don't know what's going on. Your audio sounds horrible. Let me see if I can figure it out. I've already done all the noise canceling stuff, and that's not helpful. So let's turn noise canceling off there, and we'll turn it on over here. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, bear with us, folks. Sometimes, but this is live from New York.
Well, it's an integration between Zoom and Skype that's the problem. So, okay, try that.
How about now? Yeah, hear me now, brother.
Yeah, go to. By the way, the book you're talking about is my latest book called First in Time.
Yeah, I have posted.
What it is I call it a Pacific transcription. Pacific as in pacifist. Pacifist as in nonviolent. Now, people don't understand that the cutting of the umbilical cord is the first act of violence. So as a pacifist, I don't accept the cut. I don't accept what I know absolutely positively it happened. But since I'm nonviolent, I'm against violence, I don't have to accept the violence. And the cutting of the umbilical cord is an act of violence, an act of mayhem, actually, against an innocent newborn. So I'm against all violence now, but most people would then say, well, how do you protect yourself or your family? Well, don't confuse nonviolence with self-preservation. Self-preservation is part of natural law, and it's the organism defending itself against everything to keep itself alive. So within natural law, self-preservation is a given. So I don't have to be violent in order to bring in self-preservation, whatever that means, whatever it means. Understand that. I'm trying to keep myself alive too. But you were talking about 4 years ago. Were you talking about the beginning of COVID, so-called?
Yeah, right. When they applied the 6-foot rule to keep people's energy fields not from connecting, you know, and sending them home and all this other stuff. You expressed in reference to the 6-foot rule.
Uh-oh.
How about now?
I've lost you again. Okay.
Geez, they don't want me talking today.
Well, are you on a headset by any chance?
No, I'm not. I'm straight open. Everything's wide open. I've never had this problem before. I got my volume up.
It sounds like you're... Okay. Well, here's the thing is I know people, you know, they're afraid of the OVID. They don't know where it came from. They don't actually know what it is. And I'm going to make a statement here that I think is funny as hell. Now, back starting in 2018-19, I started sending letters around, we'll say around the world, based upon this knowledge of my godly origin being fertilization. So anything that wasn't included in my origin, because if I begin at fertilization and I end with my last expired breath, and that's my lifetime, unbroken, then everything between fertilization and last breath is private. And that's a matter of fact. What I did was I started pointing this out. I started pointing out that when they clamped and cut the cord, that was an act of mayhem. When they took away my biology, that was an act of larceny. When they allowed my biology to die without my breath, that was an act of genocide. When I started pointing this stuff out, the recipients of my letters started quitting their jobs.
Wow.
First one that quit was the Illinois director of the IDPH director, the Illinois Department of Public Health. I sent him three letters back in 2018 and 19. By the third letter, he quit. Now, this is the highest medical office in Illinois, and he quit.
Really?
Because by pointing, yes, I have the letters. I mean, you can see some of the letters in my first book, Right of Way. But yeah, right. by the time he received the third letter, he quit. Now, here's the point. I was pointing out the truth. That's it, just the truth. And the truth doesn't have enemies, but by pointing out the truth, I'm also pointing out potential crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to leave. If you receive these letters, and I'm pointing out that you are potentially involved in criminal activity, crimes against humanity and what have you, you got to make a decision. Well, he ended up quitting.
Wow.
My next letter, and I'm surprised that you didn't hear about this over the years, but my next letter, the next letter I decided to send was to the Secretary of Homeland Security. Now think about that. Homeland Security. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Homeland Security Secretary. 11 days after she received my letter, she quit.
Wow. Okay.
Go ahead.
I know you're going somewhere with this. I'm waiting with bated breath.
My wife and I were sitting eating sushi one that Sunday, and they had all the TVs around the restaurant, and they had all the closed captions on because they didn't have any of the audio turned up. And I'm reading a closed caption, looking at the Secretary of Homeland Security, you know, holding a conference or whatever. And I turned to my wife and I said, "What does that caption say?" And she looked at me, she read it, and she says, "Secretary steps down," or whatever. And she looked back at me. She said, "Two for two?" And I said, "Yep."
Is there a third one in line here somewhere?
Yeah, I sent letters to the chairman of the National Security Council, because I knew that the birth certificate was the issue of national security. The nation, by the way, people don't know this, but the nation was created by FDR in 1933 on March 4th when he spoke into existence in his first inaugural address. He said, "This is a day of national consecration." So national consecration was he created a holy nation, a nation of holy ground. Well, the holy ground is all that biology created in the womb. The womb is actually considered the Garden of Eden. So all the material from the Garden of Eden would be holy ground. And so when they clamped and cut that material off of you and gave title to it, which is known as the birth certificate identifies the holy ground or the holy nation. So that's the holy nation. So the issue of national security is that birth certificate that then forces you as the pledge to then secure or back up or fund that holy nation. That's the issue of national security. So again, the National Security Council, which was created somewhere in the late 1940s, right following on the coattails of the United Nations, the holy ground, and the national security issue is that birth certificate. We'll call it Christian, the birth certificate Christian, because that's the holy ground. But anyway, so my next three letters went to the National Security Council chairman, who happens to always be the president of the United States. So it was Donald Trump back in 2019 and 20.
Right.
And then after that, I sent to the president directly in the capacity of president. Now, here's what's funny. The third letter, the president received my third letter, and I will explain this. Hopefully the audio is good enough for people to hear this, but the president of the United States received my third letter March of 2020.
Wow.
Within one week of receipt of my letter, they shut down the global economy. Now, why? Because the entire banking system is based upon the birth certificated fetal abortion. And I pointed that out. I said, you realize that the entire banking system is aborted fetal tissue as security.
Right, since 1933, when they took us off the gold standard in 33, the birth certificates were the hypothecation, or basically getting funds into the system, since they didn't want to have to back it with gold. They took us off the gold standard.
Guys, give me just a moment. Give me just a moment. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're about halfway through the program. Pete, I'm going to switch you over from Zoom to Skype. I'm sure that that will help. So drop out of Zoom. I am going to add you to the call that we've got going on.
All right,
so we'll be back with Doc Pete in just a moment. And boy, I'm really excited. I'm really enjoying this program. Lots of interesting information. They have built an entire system. Yep. They've built an entire system based on death. You know? Okay, Pete, try it now.
Yeah, I'm in the box.
Okay, you sound great too.
Can I continue on this thought, because this is going to be mind blowing.
Yeah.
So he receives my third letter. Now, he's received six letters, three in the capacity of National Security Council chairman and three in the capacity of president. Now, the third letter, within 1 week, let's say 6-7 days, they shut down the entire global economy. Now, I know the economy is known as ecumenical. It's ecumenism. Ecumenism is a Christian economy based upon the sacrifice of Jesus, the blood of Christ. The people don't understand that the material that they cut off of me and everyone else, the amnion itself, my own biology, which is a thin membrane that surrounds me in the womb, the amnion, the word amnion is Greek for little lamb, as in the Lamb of God. So when they cut that off of me and sacrifice that lamb, that is in their realm, in their world, in their belief system, the blood of Christ. So now they have my blood, my lamb's blood, on deposit. And then that lamb's blood deposit gives rise to the birth certificated One Nation Under God trust property. And that's what FDR was talking about March 4th, 1933, the nationally consecrated ground. That's all the same biology, and it's mine. It's my biology that's on deposit, and that's the blood of Christ. Kurt, are you saying you're Jesus? No, I'm not saying I'm Jesus. Jesus is a character in a book. They're using my biology, the Lamb of God, my biology, the Lamb, the amnion, and they're calling it something different. They're putting it into their narrative, which is the Gregorian calendar narrative, which is the Christian narrative. Anyway, I'm going to get off that because I want to stay on what I did with the president. So March 2020, the president receives my third letter, shuts down this global ecumenical economy because I've removed the deposit from their ability to use it because it's actually aborted fetal tissue. It's an abortion that is securing the entire banking system in the world. And I pointed that out. So they shut it down and they called it COVID. Now, here's what I know. And you can Google it right now. You can go right to this. Go to PHI/HHS. I'm going to do it myself because if you follow along with this, I'm on page 308 of my book, Peter, just so you know, and we're going to go to that. And we only have the second half of the show for me to cover this, but this is so mind blowing. If everybody understands what COVID actually is, you'll realize that we can get out of this stuff. We can never be held accountable again to the so-called World Health Organizations because it's all based upon the cut. All dis-ease, all disability, it's all based upon the cut. If you're whole, if you're W-H-O-L-E, from fertilization to last breath, that's considered healthy. And even in their Bible, at Luke 5:31, Jesus, their Jesus says, they that are whole, W-H-O-L-E, need not a physician. Jesus, in his own words, says, they that are whole need not a physician, which means you don't need to be administered to, i.e. administrative process. And so Jesus, in his own words, is saying, if you're whole, meaning from fertilization to last breath, you don't need any of this shit that these courts are offering you. Anyway, I'm on page 308. Go to PHI space HHS. I'll do it right now. PHI HHS. And you're going to see something when you see it. Peter, are you able to do this?
Yes, I'm on 308.
Okay, well, but go, if you can go to PHI HHS at Google, just Google PHI HHS.
Okay, PHI HHS?
PHI space HHS. It'll take you to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services page.
Okay. There it is. Yep, I'll be there. I'm there.
Okay, so it says, there's a question right there. It says, what is PHI, correct?
Yes.
PHI. By the way, what is PHI? What is C?
The alpha, the omega. Well,
it's the divine. It's the divine proportion.
Yes, brother. It's also we got pi. Pi. Man, you're gonna be
excited. I don't care about that. I'm talking about phi. PHI is phi, and phi is the divine proportion. So right here at HHS, Health and Human Services, it says, "What is PHI?" I know that it's the divine proportion. I know that it's phi. It's pronounced phi, F-E-E. But it says right here, PHI stands for protected health information. It goes on to say the HIPAA privacy rule provides federal protections for personal health information held by covered entities, covered, COV, covered, as in insured. COV, covered, means insured. COV, think COVID, COV is covered. And whoa. What is ID? What is ID?
It's not.
Id, ego, and superego. The id is the infancy. Is infant.
Got it.
And when they clamp and cut the material off that is the womb-based property, that's the infant aspect. The id is your infancy that is on deposit. Cove id is the insured infancy. And if you go to 1 USC 8, it actually talks about the infant member. I'm going to do that too. What I'm trying to connect is that PHI, which is the divine proportion, which goes all the way back to creation, fertilization, they cut that piece of you off. And then they made it, they called it protected health information using the same acronym.
Wow.
So PHI C, which is the divine proportion, is now on deposit. And that's what FDR was talking about. This is the day of national consecration. PHI is the divine proportion. That's the piece they cut off of you when they clamped and cut the umbilical cord. They put that biology on deposit, and that's PHI, protected health information, which is also COV, the covered or insured ID, infancy.
And so everybody gets to pay a fee for the PHI.
What I'm getting at is COVID was when I identified this COVID, this covered id entity.
Wow.
Id entity, the infant entity is the identity.
Right. It all fits.
And it's the insured identity. And if you go to 1 USC 8, I'm going to go back to some regular conversation. Now I'm going to 1 USC 8. USC, United States Code.
Yeah.
And then the number 8.
Yeah. 1.
And I like to go to, I'm going to Cornell, but I'm going to read this. 1 USC 8 says, person, human being, child, and individual, as including born alive infant.
Yeah.
And they're and by the way, I'm going to read it a little further. It says, I'm not joking here. A, in determining the meaning of any act of Congress or of any ruling, regulation, or interpretation of the various administrative bureaus and agencies of the United States, the words person, human being, child, and individual, here it is, shall include every infant member.
Wow.
of the species Homo sapiens who is born alive at any stage of development. They're talking about the member. And what member are they talking about? They're talking about the limb or the organ that was cut off of you, the umbilical cord and the extraembryonic material, which includes the maternal part of the placenta. That's the member. That's the infant member that was cut off of you. That was the infant member that was amputated. That's the infant member that is the protected health information, the PHI, also known as the divine proportion, which evidences your direct link to God or creation. They cut that off of you, and they said, now you've turned your back on God, Peter, and now the only way back to God is through us, through our administrative process, our ministers. And I pointed that out in my letters, and they turned off the global Christian economy immediately when they received this information.
Holy crap.
So I jokingly tell people I started
you shut down
COVID.
The banking system.
I started this shit, but everybody thinks COVID is this bad flu. Now, the bad flu was something they created in the lab and they turned it loose on everybody, but they called it COVID, which is nothing more than the covered infant member that they cut off of you and placed on deposit, forcing you to become the surety through your own biology.
Wow.
Now, let me read page 308.
Go ahead.
So look at about 60% of the way down. You're on page 308, right, in my book?
Yep.
Okay, look at the word savior.
Got
it. See it? It says plural saviors, American spelling. See that?
Yep.
Okay, now think of 1 USC8. Remember that infant member. Look what it says here. A person who saves someone rescues another from harm. And in medicine, a child who is born to provide an organ or cell transplant to a sibling who has an otherwise fatal disease used in combination with sibling, baby, child, brother, sister, etc. That's the afterbirth. They created a savior with this afterbirth material, which is also the amnion, which is also the Lamb of God, which is Jesus in their world. They created this shit.
Wow. I'm blown away. I'm still trying to catch my breath on how you put the dynamic of COVID together, but it all, I talk about putting the pieces together. So in essence, they shut down the banking system because you shared the love that basically they've been funding their whole program through all these children. The foundlings have all been gathered up.
But they're not the baby. People say, well, they're killing babies. They're sacrificing babies. No, they're not. They're sacrificing the afterbirth.
Right.
Still has the same biology as a baby, but I want you to think about what are they really sacrificing? I mean, I'm going to go back to the biblical account for a second because it's pretty weird. In their Bible, in their book, in their narrative, Jesus actually says, I am what I am. So Jesus is actually claiming to be I am, which is what? The presence.
Right.
Jesus is the presence. But when you hang the presence on a cross, on a marker, at the threshold, at the port of entry to the new world, when they clamp and cut the cord, they stop your forward progress and they hang that Lamb of God on a cross, which we see as an X every time we sign next to the X.
Yeah,
that's just a cross. And when you sign next to that, you're agreeing to the sacrifice. But what are they actually hanging on the cross? They're hanging your presence on the cross.
Right.
So you're not here, you're not present. And if you're not present, if you're not here, then you're missing, presumed dead. And until you're found again, they're going to put all your property into a trust or into a lost and found. And they call that the In God We Trust.
Wow. Unbelievable. I don't even know where to go, bro. I mean, my brain's spinning right now. It's like, and I get all this stuff. So how do we move forward to the next level so that we're not encumbered by the game?
Go to page 253. Go to page 253. You got the book. You got the physical book in your possession, correct?
Perfect. Yeah, I have the separator. It was right at the page 253.
No, I mean, page 253, lower right-hand corner. But you have the book. You and I made a trade. I got some of your great product. You got my book.
Yes.
And my book is available at Amazon. Yeah, my book's available at Amazon. It's available direct to me. We can figure out if anybody wants to buy the book, they can order it from me or order it from Amazon or any other online booksellers. But here, I want you to look at this. Down at the bottom on page 253, you asked me, what do we do? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what I am doing. I put what's known as a private member association into their realm.
Yes.
Now, but not like anybody else. Remember that 1 USC8 talks about an infant member. That infant member is the piece cut off of you. So my private member association is for only for those that know what was cut off of them, what was removed from them, what was amputated, becoming a phantom limb and still causing them pain their entire life. But if you know, if you have the knowledge of fertilization to last breath, you can join my PMA because now you know the member that has got away from you. And remember, if you don't know the time in the womb, if you have forgotten the time in the womb and claimed the birth certificated character outside the womb, then all the time in the womb is missing. It's all missing from your life.
Wow.
And it's an omission. It's an omission that in their court system makes you a liar. You're a liar by omission. And now you're not trustworthy. And now you've lost. Remember that if you don't include the time, the connection to God, that is considered, what would you call it? They call it,
blasphemy.
They would call it, it's a disgrace. When you're cut off from God, when you turn your back on God, you lose the grace of God. But another word that most people don't understand, to be in disgrace is to be in dishonor.
Mm.
Now you know why you're in dishonor in the courtroom, because when the moment you claim a birth certificated character, you're omitting your link to God, which puts you in disgrace, which puts you in dishonor, and now you don't have any access to the funds, to what we'll call it the equity. You don't have any access to the equity, so you're going to have to pay for it in some other way.
Yeah,
so fertilization, last breath, evidence is equity.
Yep. Wow.
So anyway, wow. Page 253. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I've done. If you read that, right down at the bottom, it says author's note. See that?
Yep.
It says, keeping one's genuine little g Genesis in mind, I created a private member association, a PMA, to forever relieve one's present supreme being, all present and accounted for from fertilization to last breath, from the undue influence, duplicity, and injurious climate of an historically frozen Gregorian infant mass, measure, rule, etc., arising, PHI, personal health information, or divine proportion, from the obstruction of nature's evolutionary due process specific to a medically incomplete delivery. I have formally tagged this the mature, peaceable assembly of PMA members, the Society of the Sojourner. So I created this society, this where people know the truth, and they only tell the truth, and they live by the truth. By the way, the truth doesn't have any enemies. Nature doesn't have any enemies. There's no enemies in nature. It just is what it is. So, and remember, most people don't understand that the 14th Amendment, which was created in the 1860s due to the war, the Civil Roman War between the North, the mind, and the South, the body. So
wow.
Again, when people don't understand the North versus the South is the mind versus the body, the capital versus the labor, heaven versus earth, that the North and the South is just an idea. But realistically, they decapitate everybody. And then through the 14th Amendment, they call it due process. But in nature, from fertilization to last breath, it's all evolutionary due process, meaning that all the material that you were inside the womb and all of the things that you are outside of the womb is all part of the same due process. It is all part of nature. We don't need a 14th Amendment due process when we know the truth all the way back to fertilization. So we don't need their 14th Amendment citizenship to make us whole again. That's the whole idea. It's called don't they call the 14th Amendment one of the Reconstruction Acts?
Because they're, sort of sounds like court cases, reconstructing in cases against us, you know?
They're reconstructing the man. They're putting him back together. And they're saying that they're doing it through administrative process or to be administered to. They're putting the broken man back together. They call it the 14th Amendment due process, but in nature, it already has happened. I'm whole. I'm sitting here right now with all 46 chromosomes. I'm sitting here whole from the beginning. I've never not used this biology. I've never given any of it away. I've never abandoned any of it. So I'm still using the same exact biology as the zygote. So I'm innocent until proven guilty. Whereas the broken man that claims or admits to a birth certificate evidences his own fault. And from that point forward, they need the due process of the 14th Amendment to reconstruct their direct link back to God. It's sickening. It's a joke. The joke is on us.
I know, it's nobody's fault but mine, sort of a Led Zeppelin song, you know?
That's a great song, by the way.
It is a great song, dude. Anyways, that's that, bro. I'm like, my brain is just, here we go again, man. You just took me to a different star ride. Gee whiz. No, I get it. It's so stupid simple. Even I can get it.
That's why I have to use the paste to relax and go to sleep at night.
Yeah, thank God for the
paste. Because my mind is racing. For 15 years, my mind has been racing to find this.
Yeah, thank God for the paste, man. You ought to live in my head for 5 minutes, Curtis, just like I couldn't live in your head for 5 minutes.
Jeez. No, that's why we get along so well.
Yeah, well, thank God for medicine. You know, we need to do a dose of medicine together. We'll get on the phone 2 hours later because that's when it kicks in, and then we'll have a philosophical conversation that'll take you to another side of the world. I do very philosophical when I do paste.
Well, let me do one before we run out of time. Yeah. I'm going to go back to, but first of all, the title of the book is called First in Time.
Yep.
And go to the very front where the to wit or my statement is. It says to wit.
All right.
Okay.
Which page is that?
There's no page number. It's like the fifth page of the book, but it's called to wit. It's to wit at the very top.
Got it.
Top left. Found it?
Oh, yeah. I got it. It's the left-hand corner at the top.
Right. Well, here's what I... First in time. First in time wins every time. First in time. So the moment I was created resulting in the zygote. The zygote exists before any name, before any title, before even the public record is even in play. It exists before everything. So now I exist. I exist before anybody even knows I exist. So there's not even any specific moment of beginning. Nobody can pinpoint when I started, which means I'm outside of the scope of everybody's claim. Yeah. Fertilization is outside of the scope of everybody's claim. It's not subject to any jurisdiction.
Correct.
That should be a hint. So I'm first in time. Now, here's what first in time does for you when you have this knowledge. First in time, it says the notion that first in time is first in right is an ancient one. It determines the resolution of numerous human conflicts, both in law and custom. The legal rules about finding, water rights, nuisance, prescription, patents, wild animals, creditors' rights, franchises, recording and priorities in realty, and scores of other issues are wholly or partially governed by it. People follow it as unwritten law in their social interaction. First in time is the answer to everything. By me knowing my godly origin is fertilization, there is no jurisdiction. There is no fictitious jurisdiction that has any claim.
Incredible. Wow.
It is.
Now, Curtis, well, what about the fact that I already did my claim on the divine portion way back in 2013 in King County, Washington State? Does that not have viable, put me to the head of the line type privileges? Not privileges, but rights?
Well, it it does. It evidences that. And of course, I'm what? I'm 10 years beyond that document, which I think that document still to this day, it's still amazing to me. Because
it's
it still holds up. It is a masterpiece. But it also, the problem with the document is that it's too esoteric.
I know what it means,
but this book, First in Time, when it lays it all out, this book actually knocks it out of the park for everybody reading it because it's a testimony. This actually, First in Time, is a transcription of a testimony. So it's me becoming the witness for all of us. And the truth is written in this book, which is for all of us from fertilization to last breath. By the way, let me say what that means. This sounds goofy. People go, fertilization to last breath, the day you die? No. Fertilization to last breath is the present. What day was it when my mom and dad lay together? I mean, you weren't even there. I wasn't there, but what day was it?
I set a fly on the wall, but he didn't report back.
What day? Well, the day my mom and dad lay together, I'm not trying to be crass or gross, was today. When they lay together, it was today. And when the building materials come together as a new zygote, a new unique zygote, what day was it? It was today. And from that moment to this moment is always only today. The past and the present are mutually exclusive. In other words, I've never been in the past. Think about your fifth grade class picture. I mean, what day was it when you were sitting there with the rest of your classmates? It was today. We've never been anywhere but today.
And it's no different. Look at your face on the ID card. That was me way back when, but that ain't me today. I'm the original me today. Where's that ID or whatever you get from the government with your face on it? That's not you. That's why I remember I was telling you about this lady who went to the court system, and she said the judge gave one out. She goes, that's not you on the ID card, you're free to go. But if that's you on the ID card, I will see you accordingly. And she did.
Right, because the ID, the ID, is for infants only. By the way, think about it realistically. Birthdays are not for a 64-year-old man. Can you picture my 5'10", 190-pound body coming out of my mom's vagina?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
No, I mean, because every 365 days, we return, we go back and celebrate infancy. Do you understand how negative that is or how incapacitating that is? I'm 64 years old. If I celebrate every 365 days my infancy, I never get beyond infancy. Infancy as a minor or infancy is an incapacity. So think about this. Are there any men in the world? I'm talking about mature men. Are there any men anywhere in the world if the birthday is in play?
No.
No, they're all infants. This is a world without men. So
they're living in the past. It's my birthday. Like you said, Curtis, it's my birthday every day.
I'm here in the present, but okay, so all present and accounted for, meaning I didn't leave anything out. I didn't leave anything back there. I didn't leave anything on the table. I got it. You cut a piece of me off and whatever, but you know what? Evolutionary process says I keep going. So I have the same 46 chromosomes I started with at fertilization, and I've never abandoned any piece of me. It doesn't matter how many pieces you cut me up into. It's still only one estate, one godly estate, one kingdom, and it's my kingdom, and I'm the king. By the way, if you never, ever go beyond infancy, do you ever become the king? No. You never become the so-called sovereign if you keep claiming infancy. Because even if you are the king to be, but you never get beyond infancy, your kingdom is subject to what's known as regency. And now there's somebody that's watching over your kingdom until you become old enough, but you never become old enough because you keep claiming infancy. So it's a vicious circle. It's a pilgrimage back to infancy every 365 days. So now there are no men because nobody ever reaches the age of maturity because we all keep celebrating this infancy every 365 days. And think about that. How can a man protect his family if he's an infant?
Exactly. When are you going to grow up and become a man?
That's right. Never, never land. But and here's the other thing that people don't always understand. When I say I'm all present and accounted for from fertilization to last breath, they go, oh, you mean until the end of your life? I mean until last breath. The people don't understand it to be spiritual. Oh,
yes.
I'm a spiritual guy. Spiritual means nothing more than to be breathing.
No.
Spirit, breath is spiritual. To be breathing is spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says the spiritual man is to be judged by no man. So as long as you're breathing, you're not to be judged by another man, but everybody keeps claiming these decedent estates that have no breath. So, I mean, again, 1 Corinthians protects the living, but it doesn't protect the birth certificate of decedent estate. And one last thing about that, the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights doesn't protect dead bodies. The Bill of Rights doesn't protect ghosts. It protects living men and women. So, again, if you're claiming a birth certificate of decedent estate, does the Second Amendment right to bear arms even apply to the decedent estate? Of course it doesn't. That's a dead body or a ghost. They don't have any rights. So the Bill of Rights is off the table the moment you claim a birthday.
Brother Curtis, give your email, not your email, but your link to the book. I have it posted in the box. A little shout out. So
I do what I call a podcast. Really, it's just a conversation with me and a friend or two. And it's called New Word Order, New Word Order, and it's you can find it at Buzzsprout. I got probably 100 calls up at Buzzsprout right now. They average about 3 hours each. Obviously, I have a tendency to talk a lot, but I mean, throughout those 100 calls, if people do go to New Word Order and they start listening, I would advise you to listen to the newest stuff and work backwards. It'll take you a little while for it to set in, but once it does, it'll all make sense, and you'll realize that all the patriot organizations are wrong. All the religious organizations are wrong. They all bought into a narrative, a false narrative, and they're trying to get remedy from something they don't need remedy. I'll end this with this. Peter, think about what I'm about to ask. Be careful because it's sort of a trick question. A or B? A or B? A, cure to cancer. B, no cancer.
I prefer no cancer as possible.
That's right, but most people don't get that. They don't realize that, oh, a cure to cancer would be great. You're not listening. I'm saying, what if cancer didn't exist? Do you need a cure to cancer? And that's what remedy is. Remedy, that when people talk about remedy to me in the court system, they're already presuming an illness. If you're not sick, you don't need a remedy. If you're not broken, you don't need to be fixed. From fertilization to last breath, you're not broken. You're not sick. You're not diseased. So you don't need remedy. It's B, no cancer. And I'm talking about with my book, First in Time, there's no cancer. There's no need for remedy because you're not broken.
That tightens it up. Anyways, thank you so much for engaging me. I've got some homework to do as you. Well, I'm really excited. Give your splash page that you or somewhere where people can go and grab it. What's the splash page?
Realistically, the best place to go would just be Buzzsprout and go to New Word Order. Not New World Order, New Word, order. And that's the best place to start. I mean, you can go to Amazon and buy the books and do all that stuff. But reality is, to me, I'd rather have you learn this stuff and know it to be true and then decide to buy something or get involved with the PMA. At that point, but realistically, I don't want to babysit. I'm not trying to become somebody's parent. I want people that know the truth that can actually stay the course with truth and be with me as opposed to, work for me. I don't want anybody else's problems, you know?
All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everybody. Love you.
Love you too. Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. This is Solutions for the Planet with Doc Peter and Kurt Kallenbach. So that's it for me. We're out of here. Thank you. This has been Solutions for the Planet with Doc Peter on the Global Voice Radio Network.